Very fascinating. But now, if someone would like to learn more about the science of fossils and going on digs or archaeological digs, just any of this, can you recommend some reading for them or videos? Or you mentioned a documentary that you're done with, I believe it's at National
Yeah, so I did a fun series with National Geographic. I think I'd hair then. Sorry, but it was a thing called Jurassic CSI, a series I did with. I've done a lot of shows with National Geographic actually. They've been good fun to work with. I'm also filming a couple of new series with the BBC at the moment, and I think at least one of them is going to be shown on PBS in the next year or so. So you'll see more of bits and bobs that we've done. And there are so many cool shows on paleontology, which are fun to watch. Some which are more reality TV, you might end up throwing things at the television screen, but others where, any of the BBC shows, anything by David Attenborough. Sir David Attenborough, he's one of our national icons, bless him. He's 93 years old, and he's adorable, and he's still presenting and working in natural history. He was there at the beginning of television, actually, I think, but he's made his whole career and exploring the natural wonders of our planet. And he's had a major impact on me as a child, actually watching his TV shows. And they're still incredible to watch today. So anything by Sir David Attenborough is good by me. But you can tune into National Geographic, and they have fantastic shows. And just, there are some good and bad ones. I would read the reviews before you watch some of the series because some of them are not so good. But there are, but go to your local museum. There are so many museums, and the museums need you at the moment in the US because we've just gone through this period of such a challenges that our species has faced, and it's impacting places where people would congregate. And so now the museums really do need your support more than any other time before. So if you want to help our planet and the future of your munchkins to sort of children to learn about our planet, go to a museum, and that's a really good starting place. And then as well, it's like a selection box. You walk into the museum, and you can see what actually really interests the kids, and then you can focus that interest. And never try and force someone to be something they don't want to be. Just see where their passion lies and encourage it. I always joke, it's impossible to manage academics. If there's any academics listening, they'll be going, "Yeah, he's right. We were an unmanageable bunch. We are. But what we can manage is the environment in which we live and then what we work. And that's how we become more productive." Likewise for kids, if we're forcing them into that rigid framework of education, which so often we do, sometimes it doesn't suit everyone, but there could be something in life that this kid is brilliant at. It's kind of finding that and letting them pursue it. And that's a wonderful thing to see, because then you see people who are truly passionate about what they do.
And the other thing too is that in your field of science, there are other areas as well. There's got to be a technical side as well. A lot of kids nowadays want to go into the technical side of things. It just makes me also think that, a little bit back to the question I asked earlier about, the past, the present, and future, but also that the things that you all are doing out there has a direct effect on us as people. We see you all in the digs, like I said, people have such one kind of impression of what you all do, but you are contributing in so many areas of science. Like you said, it's all connected. It's all connected.
Absolutely. And I'm a member of a really fun club. I never really understood clubs as a munchkin. I never really got it, but I got invited to become a fellow of the Explorers Club in New York, which are a fun bunch of folks. And they get together, or used to get together in the olden days, for a dinner once a year. And you'd get to see all the astronauts who've stood on the moon. That's a club. And these are different explorers from around the world. And we all get together, exchange stories, have fun. And it's wonderful to see how vibrant the explorer community is today. And if there's kids listening, or there's adults who've got their munchkins asleep, maybe, don't forget when you wake them up to say, "You too can be an explorer." Because the world still has corners which we have yet to explore. In fact, more people have stood on the moon than have been to some of the darkest, deepest parts of the oceans. So there are huge tracts of the Earth that we still have not yet explored, both in time and space on this planet. So I always find it ironic that we invest so much exploring the solar system in our own galaxy, when in fact we still haven't finished exploring our own gem of a planet.
Mm-hmm. Our own home. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, definitely. I can see that. And I can see then how concern for the environment and so many other things that can become very political can also come into question with it as well.
It's funny, the evolution of life on Earth should never be political, and neither should the love of the natural world. And I hope that every one of your listeners, when they go outside and they just look at the beauty of this planet, and the I look at it with sheer wonder still, and I love just getting out into the wilds and really appreciating this beautiful planet. And we are so lucky to have this planet. We are probably one of the few planets, certainly close to our solar system, where life has flourished. We're in that so-called Goldilocks zone from the sun, just close enough to get the warmth and get the energy from the sun, but far enough away that we're not toast, not too far away that we're not frozen. So it's one of those rare moments. And there's going to be other Earth-like planets out there in the universe. We haven't yet actually found one that has any evidence of life on it, but they are out there without any shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. Whether it's life like us, who knows? The evolutionary twists and turns through time, availability of different chemistry through time, even how our atmosphere formed is a bit of a fluke in many respects, that it's rich in oxygen, because it didn't, as I said earlier, it didn't used to be. In fact, it would have been totally poisonous to us if it wasn't for that chance evolutionary event some 2.6 billion years ago, when you start plants producing oxygen, as it were, to the atmosphere. So we are very lucky to harness life here. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to care more for our planet. And I look at the billions we spend trying to travel to other planets, and I just wish we could start actually spending billions, if not trillions, to sort our planet, not for us, but for our children and our children's children. I think there's a wonderful saying from the Plains Indians of North America, which is, it's this, we borrow the planet from our children. And I think we really do. And we must remember that.